Okay, so today is Rosh Hashanah Daf Beis. Welcome, everybody. It's a new Masechta, a new beginning to everyone. I hope it goes well for all of your learning. There's only 34 Dapim, so you skip it 34 days, an hour a day, and you get the whole Masechta. That's the way it goes. Now, there's a piece here about why this Masechta in the Daf Yomi, we have Rosh Hashanah comes after Yoma. So we had Yoma, then we had Sukkah, then we had Beya, and now we have Rosh Hashanah. In the Vilna Shas, it's Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkah. So why is it that it's everything flipped over here? So he gives a hesber. He says, the Ran talks about why is a person judged on Rosh Hashanah? Why is Rosh Hashanah the Day of Judgment? So we'll see later on in Machlok and Gemara when the world was created. So if I assume, I went over this before Rosh Hashanah and Shul between Mufa Marv. So if I assume the world was created on Rosh Hashanah, so then I understand that there's a din on Rosh Hashanah. And the Medrash says that Hashem says to Adam, just like I judge you today, because Adam, you know, was his din, was on Rosh Hashanah. Adam did the Aveira with the Yetzer Hara on Rosh Hashanah. He's just like I judge you today, and he went out Bedimos, he went out acquitted. So too, well, I'm going to judge your progeny, your role of mankind on Rosh Hashanah, and they will go out, hopefully, in a positive fashion. But according to another pshat, though, not another pshat, another opinion of the Gemara, the world was created in Nisan, so that's a zero. So according to that pshat, the world was created in Nisan. So why is it that we have a day of din on Rosh Hashanah? So the Ran says that the sequence was that Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, went to try to get kapara for Klal Yisrael to ask for slicha, and then he comes out on Yom Kippur, and then Hashem says Lafti Kippurech on Yom Kippur. At that point, Hashem gave them Rosh Hashanah as a day of din to give them like a 10-day period to try to get the act together. So the sequence of events was. First, they were mitzvah on Yom Kippur, or first, you know, first the Yom Kippur had significance. Then, the Rosh Hashanah came after that. So, why is Sukkah in between? So, we do Yoma, then we do Sukkah, then we do Beya, then we do Rosh Hashanah. So, Sukkah is there. So, he wants to say here, like the Gra says, why do we have Sukkah? So, it's based on the idea that the Amnei Akavod left us, and they only came back when in other words, they left us after the Egel, the Amnei Akavod, the clouds of glory. And they only came back on the 15th of Tishrei, which was Sukkot, because, in other words, according to the Gra, this is the Gra, is Perish and Shir Shirim, he says that it's the Mishkan was a kapara for the Maaseh Egel. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on Yom Kippur, and on the 11th, he commands them concerning building the Mishkan. This is by Atel Moshe, and that's Bimachar Yom Kippurim. Then on the 12th and the 13th, everybody brings the contributions. And then on the 14th, the craftsmen, the Balimanio, they pick up all the material, and then they begin working on the Mishkan on the 15th of Tishrei. So at that point, the Anei Kavod came back. So the Seder is, first you have Maseches Yoma, then you have Sukkah. I don't know how Beya fits in, I guess it's just related to Yantiv. And then you have Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Now, he does mention.
So why is Pesachim first?
Yeah, so I don't know. I got to look again. I don't know why Pesachim is first. But he gave a little shot with this. Now, he mentions also that now the Rishonim say the order of the Masechtot should be not the way we're doing it in Daf Yomi. They say it's the way it's in the Vilna Shas, which was Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkah. So he says, according to their opinion, like the Lachas Nivsak, like Reb Lezer, that the world was created in Tishrei. And like we say, Zayom Zechilat Ma'asecha. All right. Now, let's take a look at the first Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? And it's nice to have a nice chaver here tonight, both in person and online, whatever you are. I appreciate everybody's presence. So, kind of in a hurry, we have eight people here. And how many people do we have online? I can't even figure this out.
Four. For a
second. Yeah, I think it's five. Okay. So
counting yourself twice.
Right. Four. Right. All right. So eight and four. Okay. Let's take a look in the Mishnah. So Abba Ar Rosh Hashanah. There are four Rosh Hashanahs. Now, the Kahati points out that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the week before Rosh Hashanah, so in the Chumash, it doesn't call it Rosh Hashanah. In the Chumash. And this Rabbi Sandwolf was saying the same thing. It only calls it Yom Teruah, or it calls Zikron Teruah. We don't know anything about it being a Rosh Hashanah. But here, in the Mishnah, it's called Rosh Hashanah. So Arba Rosh Hashanah, we have four Rosh Hashanahs. Now, we'll see in the Gemara later on, Dav Zayin, there are really more than four Rosh Hashanahs. The Gemara mentions other days of a Rosh Hashanah. So if you look like on Dav Zayin of days, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. It says that Shishasar B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Omer, that the 16th of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for the Omer, and the 6th of Sivan is Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem. Anyway, there's other Rosh Hashanahs the Gemara has, but we'll see. But these are the four that the Tana lists here. Arba Rosh Hashanah Heim, Echad B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim of the Regalim. The first of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim and Regalim. Now, by Malachim, it comes out in Mefurish in the Gemara, it means Jewish kings. That it means for the regnal years of a Jewish king. So the king, we'll see in the Gemara, like if the king becomes, he ascends the reign, or he assumes the reign on the 29th of Adar, and the next day is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so he's already in his second year of his reign. That's the way it works. And it has chashivas for Shtaro. We'll see in a minute. He says, regalim. Now, it's also Rosh Hashanah for regalim. It means that there's a significance in the order of the regalim, meaning that the first of Nisan, so it means the order should be Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So the Gemara is going to get into a discussion, and we've had this before. I think we had it in Masechet Shkalim as well, about Baal Ta'acher. The Torah says the person makes a neder, so he has a limited time which to fulfill that neder. So the time is when the three regalim pass. So there's a machloket in the Gemara about do they pass in any order or do they have to pass kisidrum. So according to the Tan Reb Shimon, it has to be in the order Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So if a person makes a neder, being a korban, a week after Pesach, so it comes out he has like a year and a half to fulfill that before he's over on Baal Ta'acher. In other words, the clock only begins going the following Pesach. And then the clock ends on Sukkot. So he's got like a year and a half to fulfill it. So this Mishnah, this is the way Rav Havi said it, this Mishnah is going according to the time of Rav Shimon. So the first thing he said is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim and for Regalim. Now, the Echad Elul, now the second Rosh Hashanah, the Echad Elul, Rosh Hashanah L'Maaser Behema. We know there's a Pasuk in Chumash that we lane Aser to Aser. We always lane it on Shemini Atzeret. And then when the last day of Yantav, Aretz, comes out on a Shabbos, we learn it as well, Aser Taser. So Aser Taser, Chazal teach us that when it's a double language, so it's talking about Maaser Behema and Maaser Dagon. You know, there's a tithe you have to bring from your animals that are born that year, and you also take a tithe from the crops, from the crops. So the Chad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah, Maaser Behema. So the first of Elul is the day for Maaser Behema, meaning that the calendar year is the first of Elul. So animals that are born from Elul to Elul will be part of, you know, it's like a taxable year, like the income. It's like you have a taxable year for your income. So it runs from, you know, January 1st to December 31st. And so you make money from the previous year that's not related to, you know, your tax return this year. So the Maaser Behema relates to those animals that are born from, you know, from Rosh Chodesh Elul till the last day of Av. Now it comes out most animals give birth in Av. That's the way they take it. So it's coming out on the first of Elul. With laws of Rav Shimon Omrim, the Chag of Tishrei. Laws of Rav Shimon say that's the first of Tishrei. So it means with laws of Rav Shimon, you see, they learn that it's a Hekesh. In other words, it says Aser Ta Aser. One is Maaser Behema, one is Maaser Dagon. They learn that they both have the same date. Just like Maaser Dagon is the first of Tishrei, so too Maaser Behema is also the first of Tishrei. That's the way these Tanaim learn. That's the laws of Rav Shimon. And the Tanakama, and we'll see later on the Gemara, not today, but the Gemara later on has, one second. So on Daf Chet, the Gemara says, you can look if you want, on Daf Chet, it's around 29 to the bottom. So the Tanakama says, that the key is that near the time of completion of its when it's prepared, I guess maybe it's processing, in other words, like the dagon, the grain, so it's harvested and then it's brought to the goren and then it dries out. So the dagon is ready right before Rosh Hashanah. So the same thing with the behemoths. The behemoths are ready right before Elul because most of the behemoths give birth in Av. So that's the way he understands. This way, so it means Tanakama of our Mishnah is going like Rameir. And the other one holds, no, it says, he also agrees the Hekesh, but he says, Mamaser Dagan Rosh Hashanah Shlo Tishrei, Akmaser Behemah Rosh Hashanah Shlo Tishrei. It's teaching that they have the same date, Tishrei. All right, let's see back in the Mishnah. Now, line 4, the Chai B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanin L'Shmit L'Yoblot. So the first Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for years. So there's machlok among the Mepharshim what this means, but most Mepharshim take it, and this is the way Rabbi Hatti explained it, that L'Shanin means for the non-Jewish kings. And those who were dating, who were trying to figure out the regnal years of non-Jewish kings, to look at Rosh Hashanah. But it could also be Rosh Hashanah for Din. In other words, like with Din, that it could be the time of our mission saying that the Din for man is on Rosh Hashanah. Or it could be that it's saying that the Rosh Hashanah for Tekufot and the Moladot is on Rosh Hashanah, which would really equal up for us, you know, I guess like that the years change then. And then L'Shmitin, it's Rosh Hashanah for Shmitin. In other words, for Shmitin means, you know, for the cycle. In other words, when does the Shemitah year begin? So the Shemitah year begins on Rosh Hashanah. So if you look, and then Yovlot also begins on Rosh Hashanah. Let's look at the Rashi on this. The Shemitah and the Yovlot. Mishinechnas Tishrei Esrod Lafrosh L'Zero Min HaTorah. From the time the Tishrei comes in, you're not allowed to do Charisha plow or to sow Min HaTorah. And this Rabbi Samuel was saying, it's Machloket about the Charisha, but Rashi is coming out on the side that Charisha is Asr Min HaTorah. Once the Rosh Hashanah comes in. Then, you know, I was bothered though in the Mishnah, what was bothering me is why doesn't the Mishnah mention Maaseh Dagon? Everybody agrees Maaseh Dagon is on the first of Tishrei. So why isn't it that the Mishnah mentions it? So I spoke to, I think Rabbi, somebody said this to me, yeah, to Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. He thought that it was included in the Shemitah. In other words, so it's telling you this is the beginning of the year of the Shemitah. So it means like it's like it would also be like the years for the different master. That's what he thought. And then Yovel also comes in on on Tishrei. Remember we learned during the Gemara that Yovel is the slaves go free. Remember that the blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, the Jubilee year, the 50th year. So the slaves go free in the Jubilee year, right? It's like so we learned that there's a 10-day period. Like they cease work on Rosh Hashanah. They're busy kind of having a nice time till Yom Kippur. And then they get to go totally free. Okay, now because Torah says that it says in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, you'll blow it on Biyom Kippurim to Abu Shofar Bahar Sakhan. You blow the shofar and then they go free. But Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Yovel year. So the Gemara says, it comes out, at least I remember from the Rambam, that like there's like this 10-day period where they're sort of like kind of free, but they're still hanging out. Then Linatia, it's also Rosh Hashanah. Linatia means for a sapling. And here it's talking about for Orla. You know, the fruit of the tree in the first 3 years is prohibited to be eaten and prohibited by Hana'a. But how do you calculate the 3 years? So once Rosh Hashanah comes, it's 1 year down. So let's say the tree is growing in you know, Tamuzav and Elul. So then once Rosh Hashanah comes, now it's year two, and then finally year three. And then Lirakot, it's Rosh Hashanah for Yirakot, for vegetables. Here Rashi holds from Maaser Yerek that if you pluck it before Rosh Hashanah, it's 1 year. You pluck it after Rosh Hashanah, another year. Okay, so Rosh Hashanah, we did. And now let's do the last Rosh Hashanah. The Echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan Kedivrei Beit Shammai. The Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan Kedivrei Beit Shammai. So so it means for Maestro. If you look in Rashi, he says Le'ilan. He says Le'inin Maaser She'Maasim Peirah Le'ilan Shachanti Kol Shvat Al Kachul Lachar Shvat. Tanita is when the bud begins to come out, like the blossom comes out and a small bud comes out in the tree. So if the bud comes out after the first of Shvat, so then that's 1 year. If it comes out from before that, it's a different year. In other words, I have to take maestro from the fruit that grows on the tree. So which year did it grow on the tree? So it depends when the chanita takes place. So according to Beit Shammai, if the chanita takes place, you know, before Shvat, it's the previous year. If it's after the first of Shvat, it's the next year. The Hillel Omrim Bechami Fasarbo, but the Hillel holds Tu Bishvat, which is the one that we're all kind of used to, Tu Bishvat. So, you know, I mentioned this was B'nai Yisachar. I think it's from Rav Braunschweigel. He says that there's like, So he says that if you look at the Mishnah, so it mentions like Malachim and Regalim, that's plural. And it mentions, you know, Shemit and Yovlot, also plural, Irakot. But then when it gets to Echad B'Shvat, it says Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan, like singular. But just look at the, and the Behil is the Mechami Shasar Bo. So why does it transfer from plural to singular? So it was a remez that, it's a remez to the Esrog, right? The remez to the Esrog that on Tu B'Shvat, a person should pray. Again, the B'nai Yisachar is a chassid, so this is like if you're more into chassidic sort of thing. So on Tu B'Shvat, you should pray that you'll have a nice Esrog the next year. And Rosh Hashanah Elon, in other words, it's Xer and Shemayim, you know, what type of Elon, the Elon being an Esrog, you'll have in the coming year, and so you do it that way. Now, on Tu B'Shvat, so there's a whole tumult. So Tu B'Shvat, we take it as a type of yontiv, but why should it be any sort of a yontiv? In other words, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you know you're not supposed to fast on Tu B'Shvat, and so why should that be anything special about Tu B'Shvat? So he quotes here. This is from the Morota Daf Yomi. He says that if you look in the Mordechai and the Hagot Maimonio, so the Hagot Maimonio was Reb Meir Cohen. He was a Talmid of the Maram of Ruttenberg. And you look at Mordechai as well, they make an equation between the Arba, Rosh Hashanah, and Hay. First of Tishrei, first of Nisan, first of Elul, those are Al Asher B'Tanis. So he says, so too, Tu B'Shvat. In other words, so the other ones are on Rosh Chodesh, so he assumes you shouldn't fast on Rosh Chodesh. And it's not so pashut, there's all my folk at post came about fasting on Rosh Hashanah, but that's the way they assume. So too, on Tu B'Shvat. So he says that This is also written by Rabbeinu Gershom or Agola. So it's based on the call that when the Mishnah teaches a whole bunch of disparate items, that's to teach me that they have identical halacha. So since the Mishnah collects these four Rosh Hashanim, it teaches me that there's a certain identity in halacha between all four of them. So Chazal teach us, like, there's no din in Tosefet Shvius. In other words, when the Beis Hamikdash is not existing. In other words, there's a period of time before the Shemitah you do certain dinim. So he says that it doesn't apply when there's no Beis Hamikdash because the Tosefet Shvius is taught in the Mishnah with the mitzvah of Arava Nisuch Hamayim in the Mikdash. So Chazal teach us that just like Arava Nisuch Hamayim only knowing when there's a Beis Hamikdash, so to Tosefet Shvius also applies only when there's a Beis Hamikdash. So on the other hand, he quotes from the Aguda. He's also a Talmud of Rabbitberg, and the Aguda has a different shita. The Aguda brings down in the name of Gaon. So I'm not clear who the Gaon is. That you shouldn't fast on Tu B'Shvat because it's compared to other Rosh Hashanim. But then he says, "Ayin l'kam b'sof ha'masechta." See my perish at the end of this masechta. So it's not clear what he means by this. So he quotes from Rav Zaks. Who searched the end of the Masechta. He didn't find anything related to Tu B'Shvat. And then after a lot of effort, he came to the conclusion that the end of the Masechta, the Aguda brings to the Machloket, are you allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? So he says, the Aguda writes that based on that, people who hold that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, some hold, he says, so then there's no, it doesn't help you to make this sort of tushtel connecting everything together. Because we said that they're all connected together, the equivalent between all these Rosh Hashanah. And just like I can't fast on the other ones, I can't fast on Tu B'Shvat. That's what the Mechaber brings down to Shulchan Aruch. But the Aguda brings down is an opinion that I'm allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So Mela, so then that would shoot a hole through it. But someone is saying that the Ikar Easter of Tanis and Tu B'Shvat that the Rishonim are dealing with and the Shulchan Aruch relates to a Tanit Sibur. So means everybody agrees that you can't have a Tanit Tzibur on Rosh Hashanah. Nobody thinks you can have a Tanit Tzibur on Rosh Hashanah. So he says, so then the equivalence is consistent. In other words, Zohar just teach me I can't bear a Tanit Tzibur. But Tanit Yachid, I shouldn't fast, like the Magen Avraham writes by a fast. I'm not going to go through the whole thing with this. He has more on this. But anyway, but it shows you all the things to be the diet. Okay. So a person might feel he wants kapara for his aveiro. In other words, it's a time of atonement. So certainly Vada and Yom Kippur, but how does Rosh Hashanah shape up? In other words, there's a whole machloket. One issue is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah? And then some people want to fast. Am I allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? So some say absolutely you can't fast, and some say you could fast. Some say I think there's a mitzvah to fast. So there's different shitot on how to approach it. Okay. Who's got any questions, comments, or thoughts from the cyber world or from the live world? Anybody? Okay, let's move on then. Okay, so we're in the Gemara. Everybody with me? So we're 10 lines to the bottom. I'll tell you something else. Okay, so the Gemara says, "L'malachim l'may hilchato." So Rashi learns, why was there a specific day that was set for the kings? In other words, he said that first in Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim. That means for the Jewish kings. So why do I have a specific day that was like the uniform day for the regular years of the Jewish kings? Why don't you have each king, when he becomes king, that's the beginning of his year. And then, so let's say he became a king on the 15th of Sivan. So next 15th of Sivan, second year, the third year, fourth year, and same thing with every king. Why do we have one uniform date for it? So Amar Rav Chista Nishtaro. So Rav Chista says, this halacha has bearing on Shtaro, dating Shtaro, Ditnan, this is the Mishnah in Masechet Shviyot. It says Shtari Chov Mukdam and Psulin. It's a Shtar Chov that's Mukdam, a predated Shtar Chov. Shtar Chov is a star, it's evidence of indebtedness. So if it's Shtar Chov Mukdamim are Psulin, Lamukhar and Shirin. If it's postdated, it's Kasher. So we've been through this in Daf Yomi, but let me just go over for everybody, repeat for some people. And anyway, so Shtar Chov permits me to collect from the Chasim Shubadim. In other words, if the debtor owned real property, so if it's a milva alpeh, I can't collect from his real property if he's sold it to other people. If I do, if this is a shtar, then I can go after lekucho. So if I lend him money on the 15th of Sivan and he's got 10 pieces of land, and then he defaults on his debt on the 15th of Tammuz and he doesn't have any land anymore because he sold all the land in between, so that I can go and seize that land from the buyers. That's right. And the understanding is when I do something with the shtar, so it's like it has publicity, you know, it's known. So people know about it, so they're on notice. And Rabbi Simon Wolf was mentioning that today as well. So he says, now, we'll need a little Rashi in this. So Rashi is going to come out from Rashi that if I do, again, there's a lot of different shots in on this line of Gemara, what the Gemara is trying to say. But the way Rashi learns that if I did the regnal year, each king individually, I'm going to run into problems with the shtar. Now, I'll say it outside first, and we'll do it in the inside, maybe. And then, or maybe I'll just do it outside, because I seem running late. So, let's say the star is dated in Kislev of the third year of the king. And it says that, again, Reuven will be the lender, Shimon will be the borrower. It says Shimon borrowed, you know, $1 million from Reuven on the 15th of Kislev. And the Edom say that when we signed the shtar, we did not witness the underlying transaction. In other words, the Lovik came to us and he acknowledged his indebtedness, and then we signed the shtar. That's what the Edom say. So, and that's fine. You could do that. The Lovik can come and then he could draft the shtar, and then that's fine. But then the Edom, it's not clear whether it's these Edom or other Edom, come and say that we did witness a transaction that took place in Tammuz in the third year of the king. So then the question is going to be, this sounds like a strange situation according to Rashi. People don't remember when this king, you know, became the king. So the question is, in the third year of the king, I don't know what the third year of the king is anymore, because nobody remembers when he assumed the kingship. So if he became a king, let's say between Tammuz and Kislev, so then it would come out that the shtar is a shtar mukdam. In other words, the shtar was written before the indebtedness. That's pasul. But if he became a king between Kislev and Tammuz, so then it comes out that the indebtedness was first, and the shtar is a shtar meuchar. In other words, if he became king, in other words, the shtar is dated Kislev the 30th year of the king, and the loan was Tammuz the first year of the king. Kislev's in the winter, Tammuz in the summer, the 3rd year of the king. But we don't know when he became the king. So I don't know whether it's a shtar mukdam or shtar meuchar now. So if I don't know when the person became a king, it could be he became a king, you know, between Tammuz and Kislev. If he became a king between Tammuz and Kislev, then the shtar was written first, and then the indebtedness took place. So it's a shtar mukdam, and then it's pasul. But it could be he became a king between Kislev and Tammuz, in which case the indebtedness was first, and then the shtar came as shtar meuchar. That's the way Rashi learns. Now, Tosfos learns differently. Let's look at Tosfos quickly. The six wide line in Tosfos. Again, go, Michael, bye. Okay, so the six very wide line in Tosfos, need a small dalet in parentheses. So he says, there's a different explanation. Let's say the king began his reign on the first Nisan. Means the sofer might get confused and think that the king became a king on the second of Nisan. I can make a mistake in one day. A person is prone to make a mistake in one day. He'll write on the star, this star was in the first Nisan of the first year of the king. It's really the second year of the king. But he writes the first year of the king. The sofer, will end up writing a shtar mukdam by mistake. So the point being, though, that that if we do separate years for kings, we're going to run into problems. When I say that every king, the reign changes on the first of Nisan, so everybody knows it, and then we're in good shape. Okay, let me just do a few lines and I'll pause, okay? So the Gemara says, we're six lines from the bottom on Beis Aman Aleph, okay? So Tanur Banan, we learn in the Braisa, any questions of what I did so far? Let me pause for a second. Everybody good with this Hesper? Everybody good? All right. So Tanur Banan, Melech Shamad Ben Shri B'Tisha Ba'adar, the king became a king on the 29th of Adar, which is the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So now, when the next day comes, he's completed 1 year, and now he has the second year of his reign. It's like Chazal teach us, and this is the sugya, that Yom Echad B'Shana Chashav Shana, that one day in the year is considered like a whole year. But if he became a king on the first Nisan, so he doesn't complete the year until 12 months later on the first of Nisan. Okay, that's the Braisa. Now the Gemara dissects the Braisa. So Amamar, Melech Shamad B'Shubba Tisha Ba'adar. So instead of a king, became the king on the 29th of Adar. Him Shihia Chab Nisan Al Palo Shana. Once the first of Nisan, he's got 1 year. We're doing one line by one line. That's the line. So the Gemara says, Hakamash Volan, turn page, the top line on Amud Beis. Hakamash Volan, the Nisan Rosh Hashanah Melachim. So the Tana here is teaching me two things. One, the Tana is teaching me that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim. V'yom echad b'shana chashuv shana. That one day during the year is considered like a whole year. V'yom lo am, now we continue on. We're taking apart, going back to the Braisa. V'yom lo amad el b'chad b'nisan. The second line said, if you only assume the rain on the first Nisan, imon lo shanan shigi Nisan acher. So don't count the second year until the next Nisan. So the Gemara says, that's obvious. So the Gemara says, Lo tsricha de imnu alemi adar. No, the case that the Tana is alluding to is that he was like voted into office in Adar. If you look at Rashi, the imnu alay, nimnu begamu asarim lamanoto, that the officers, whatever, the ministers voted that he should be the next king. So already in Adar, he's like the president-elect, like with the president. Some priest elected, then he assumes office. So mahu de tema, nimnu le tartin shin. So I might have thought that we should count this as already the second year. In other words, from the time that he was like the king-elect, he's like his first year. And now, when he assumes that in Nisan, but the vote was already in Adar, it should be the second year. Kamashalan. So he's teaching me not this way. You know, I'm mentioning that Yom HaSabashana Chashiv Shana. So there's a piece, and he quotes in the Torah, I don't remember exactly who says it, but he says that this last Shabbos of the year before Rosh Hashanah, in other words, last Shabbos of the year is a very important Shabbos, because with the koach of that Shabbos, you could be mala the whole year. In other words, like the way you observe that last Shabbos of the year before Rosh Hashanah, it says, like, let's say if I hold, there's a staff, I have a staff, you know, so if it's lying on the ground, if I lift one end of the staff, the whole staff is lifted up. So there's a koach in one day of the year to impact positively on the whole year that passed. So there's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, something like Yamim Yutsaru below Echad Mehem. The days are created, and he has one of them. It's a creating sieve. Low, like low is low with an aleph, and low with a vav. That Hashem is one of the days. So the low echamihem means as soon as it's the Shabbos is his day. So anyway, so he wants to say that the last Shabbos of the year is very important for this. Okay, let me do one more braisa, and then we'll pause. We'll take some questions. Okay, now we're line five. Okay, everybody with me? Beis and beis, good. Okay, so Tanur Rabbanan, we learned the braisa. Made by Adar, but manacher tachta by Adar. Let's say Reuven will be the first king, and Shimon will be the second king. Reuven is in the fifth year of his reign in Adar, and then he dies. There is Geshtur ben Geburin. Anyway, now, so he dies in Adar, and then Shimon takes over in Adar. So Adar, we have two different kings. So Mon Shana Lezeh. So that month of Adar, I could say Adar of the fifth year of Reuven, or I could say Adar, the first year of Shimon. Make B'Nisan V'Yamanacher Tachav. B'Nisan. Let's say Reuven dies in Nisan, and then Shimon takes over in Nisan. Monish on the Zelazet. The same thing. I could say that this was in Nisan of whatever year it is for Reuven, fifth or sixth year for Reuven, or Nisan, you know, the first year of Shimon. And it means going forward the same way. So that year, if it's Reuven, so I could do the for Yizar and Siyun. In other words, that year could count for Reuven or can count for Shimon. Now, Meifa Adar, Vamanacher B'Nisan. Now, let's say Reuven dies in Adar, and Shimon takes over in Nisan. Mon Rishon Rishon or Shni L'Sheni. So Adar will be the year of Reuven, and then Nisan will be for Shimon. Okay, that's the braisa. Yeah, the old king dies in Adar, the new king takes over in Nisan. So Adar belongs to the old king, and Nisan belongs to the new king. Amar. So now we're taking down the lines in this braisa. So we said if a person dies, if a king dies in Adar and then somebody takes over from an Adar, so we count it for both kings. So Pita, where it says it's obvious, and it was either Adar for the fifth year of Reuven or Adar the first year of Shimon. So Mao de Tema, Lomanina, and I would have thought that I can't divide a year between two different kings. In other words, it can't be the year, I can't be in the same year as Reuven and Shimon. So Kamashalan, though I don't say that right? So let's take a look at Rashi on around the 10th narrow loin. He says, Shat the Beitre Lomanim, Mishinetas Bahamelech Shemeit, Akil Yomachad, Lo Yitavu Poshanazu Bishtar Lomini Melech Haomeid, Elamelech Haomeid. In other words, once it belongs to the old king, I shouldn't say the new king. So Kamashalan, we do. Now, continuing on the Gemara, Meit B'Nisan, V'Yamad Acher Tata B'Nisan. Now, the other case was where Reuven dies in Nisan and Shimon takes over in Nisan. Mon Shnan L'Zeh L'Zeh. So I count the year for both. So this is either, this year is Reuven's year, the fifth year of Reuven's reign, and it's also the first year of Shimon's reign. Right. Well, that's what the Gemara is going to ask. So Pshita, so that's obvious, the Gemara says. Just like Yosef said, I know the previous Halakha. I know this as well. What's the difference if Reuven dies in Adar and Shimon takes over in Adar? Reuven dies in Nisan and takes over in Nisan. So just like with Adar, they both count for both. So two here for both. So Mahud Tema, Yomin Yomatab Shana Chashiv Shana B'Sof Shana. So I would have thought when do I say that Yom HaBashana is Chashav Shana? One day during the year, it counts as the whole year. Meaning that for this new king, he took over on the 29th of Adar. So that counts as a whole year. That's Besof Shana. He says, Aval B'tchilat Shana, B'tchilat Shana is the one who's dying. So if Reuven is dying on the 1st of Nisan, he says, lo, I mean, I wouldn't say, I would say that rule. So Kamash Malan. So Kamash Malan, that's not the way we do it. Now, why would I think that way? Why would I think that the Sof Shana, I would count Yom HaBashana, but the Chilat Shana, I wouldn't count it this way? So one idea I saw, they quoted the Mishnah Gemara from Tosfos in the Ritva, they connected to a din by Nida. Now, this means Nida on a Duraisa level. So Nida on a Duraisa level, they're not doing clean days. They're just counting 7 days and going to the mikvah. So she sees blood on day one. So then a fraction of that day counts as her first day. That's the sopial. So I see that a fraction of a day at the end of the period, the day is the period of time. The fraction of the day at the end of the day counts as the whole day. It has to count 7 days. That counts as the whole day. But the last day of the Nida, I don't say Mixas Yom Kikulo. I don't say, well, you got the morning, so it's just good. You got to wait the whole 7 days. So I would have thought that it parallels Hilchot Nida. By Hilchot Nida, at the end of the day, that can count as a whole day. The beginning of the day can't count as a whole day. So Kamashman, that's not the case. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, that's right. We do. Okay, now let's take a look. In other words, that we count Yom HaBashana is Chashav Shana, whether it's at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. Now, then the Brisa said, if Reuven dies in Adar and Shimon takes over from a Nisan, Monin Rishonu L'Rishonu Shnei L'Sheni. So the previous year is Reuven's year, and the next year from Nisan is Shimon's year. So Gemara said, Pshita, that's obvious. Why don't you need to teach me that? Lo Tzuricha D'Imnu Alemi Adar U'Melech Ben Melech. So Imnu Alemi Adar, that I know it does nothing to me. That we had in the previous sugya, right? If they both remember, we had the Ukimta that he took over in Nisan. So obviously it begins from Nisan. So no, he wants to vote him in. So Mela, that's different. So the Gemara was docha that. Now the Gemara says that welcome. So now the Gemara says that they voted him in Adar, and he's a Melech ben Melech. In other words, his father was also a Melech. So I got it all lined up. In other words, he's got this, you know, this coronation all sewed up because they voted him in, and his father was the Melech. So Ma'od the Tema Ninu Leit Hartin Shneim. So I might have thought under those circumstances, when you get to Nisan, we're going to count it as the second year for Shimon, because the previous king died, Shimon's father died in Adar, and then everybody voted Shimon in, and Shimon is the you know Melech ben Melech. So he's a ben Melech. So I said Tartin Shneim. So Kamash Malan, the Tana teaches me that's not the case. Until he took over the reins, he's not the king, even though he's the son. All right, let's just take a look one second. Let's look at Rashi. Melech ben Melechu. He says the inishim in the alei lo itzri atashmina the shemin lemiresha. So the fact that they voted him, that doesn't we know that from the earlier Gemara. About hash to ikatarte, but now I have two elements. Eina ninu lemi kamaita. I would think that we should count the first year, like from Adar. Kamash malan. The tamo shadavar l'tisha malchut yerushahi. His malchut is Yerusha. L'tiv l'man yarim yamim amamata u'banav. In other words, he'll be marach yamim, he and his sons. This is Yerusha. All right. Now, all right. Absolutely. What do you got? For dating the Shtaro. The Shtaro. They would date the Shtaro by the years of the king.
Right.
Saying it's not going to be like a day, the
count of
the
Shani. Yeah. So it's okay. Everybody hear Daniel's question? Right. All right. So it means like this. So Daniel's asking. The Gemara says that in Malchut Nugat Bakaberta Filonima, that one Malchut doesn't overlap the other one, even like the width of a hair. So that means like the din in Shemayim is that way. In other words, like I Shem goes there, you're going to be the king. That's it. But in terms of dating the Shtarot, we have different dinim for that. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara and we'll wrap it up. And then we're all on our beginning. Everybody got a nice start today for Rosh Hashanah and only 34 more days to go to the Siyam. Okay, now actually 33 from now. Okay, let's take a look. Now, let's take a look back in the Gemara. So we're up to Amar Rabbi Yochanan, about midway down the column. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, where do I know that I date regnal years of the king from Nisan? Shenamar, and he quotes the Pasuk, Malachim, but he b'shmonim shana v'yarbam yom shana v'seif b'nei shalmi eretz Yisrael, v'shana raviv v'chodesh ziv v'chodesh ha'shanim v'loch shlomo v'yisrael. So it's talking about when Shlomo Melech is completing the construction of the base of Mikdash. It was the 480th year since Klal Yisrael left Egypt. And there's only two dates in the Nevi'im that are around that you have to remember. One is by Yiftach, where it says it's 300 years since we left Egypt. And the other is this date, the Shlomo Melech, says it's 480 years since they left Egypt. Then it says it's the Chodesh Ziv, the Ziv is Yard, second month. So Rashi says it means that it was 480 years since they left Egypt, and it was the fourth year of Shlomo's reign, and it was like the Shana Raviv of Shlomo Yisrael, like the fourth year of Shlomo being a king, fourth year of him being a king in Iyar. So Makish Malchut Shlomo sees his triumph. So the Pasuk creates a connection between dating the Malchut, the fourth year of the Malchut, and Yitzhias Mitzrayim. My Yitzhias Mitzrayim in Nisan, just like Yitzhias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, we count years from Nisan, which is when we got out of Egypt. Af Malchut Shlomo in Nisan. So too, the Malchut of Shlomo is from Nisan as well. Everybody good with this? Okay, again, the Pasuk says we're giving a date certain when the Beis Hamikdash is completed. So the date certain is 480 years since they left Egypt, and 4 years since Shlomo took over as a king. So just like 480 years from Egypt is mentioned from Nisan, so too, Shlomo's reign is also from Nisan. Okay, so that's the proof. So the Gemara says, we see the son who from Manalan to Nisan Manina. Where do we know that Yisir Tithraim, we know that we left in Egypt, in Nisan, that we know, that's a given in the Pasuk. But how do we know when we count the years since Yitzhias Mitzrayim that we measure it from Nisan? Maybe we measure it from Tishrei. In other words, just like by the kings, maybe it's a different date. Okay? So the Gemara says, Dilma mi Tishrei Marinon. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakataitis. I wouldn't think such a thing. Why? This Tiv, it says in Parshas Maaseh, Vayal Aron HaKohen al Hor HaHar al Pi Hashem, that Aron HaKohen ascended Hor HaHar. He died in the 40th year, since they left Egypt, on the 5th month, which is Av, on Rosh Chodesh. And that's the only Yort site that's mentioned explicitly in the Chumash, this one by Aaron Cohen. Uchtiv, and then it says in the next parsha, which is Devarim, in the 40th year, in the 11th month, which is Shvat, on the Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the Ber Moshe Begomer, the Moshe Rabbeinu will address Klal Yisrael. So we assume that these two events take place in chronological order. That first they have the 40th Av, or the 40th year, then V'kai B'Shvat Klal Yisrael, then Shvat follows, and it's the 40th year. So if that's in the same year, so it can't be that Rosh Hashanah for Yitzhias Mitzrayim is in Tishrei. Because Aaron Cohen dies in Av. Aaron Cohen dies in Rosh Hashanah, in the 40th year since they left Egypt. Then, if I'll assume that the dating for Egypt is on Tishrei, so then when the following Shvat, when, in other words, it's like it's 6 months later, when Moshe Rabbeinu was addressing Klal Yisrael, that would be the 41st year, wouldn't be the 40th year. In other words, you have Av, Elul, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Tevet and Shvat. So if the question is, when do we count the years from Yitzhiz Mitzrayim? So we know we left in Nisan, but when do we count the years subsequent to that? So the other candidate is Tishrei. Maybe we count from Tishrei. So if we count from Tishrei, so it wouldn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu addressed them in the 40th year, it would be the 41st year. Right, which is after. Right. So that's the Gemara saying. That's the proof. So the Gemara says, let's see further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, 8 lines from the bottom. So Bishlema Hayah, so the first Pasuk that we quoted, Mefarish Yitzhiz Mitzrayim, that says it's counting years from Yitzhiz Mitzrayim. Sure, that's good. Elahai, how do we know the second Pasuk reminded Yitzhiz Mitzrayim? How do we know that the second Pasuk, when it says it's the 40th year, how do we know that it means 40 years from Yitzhiz Mitzrayim? Dilma Lahai Kamana Mishkan. Maybe it's dating years from the Hakamana Mishkan. The Hakamana Mishkan was in the second year. So the whole proof is getting shot full of holes now. In other words, the linchpin of the proof was both these events take place, and the second event takes place after the first event, and it's taking place in the same year, and yet it calls it the 40th year. So we're not going to, what's the expression? Summing the clock, what is it? Not going to, anyway. But so we're not going to like clock in another year on Tishrei, but maybe that's not the case. Maybe the second Pasuk is talking about 40 years since the Kamana Mishkan. So the Gemara says that we can't say that. Why? The Amar Rapapa, like Rapapa says in a different figure, which we're going to have Blinetta tomorrow, Shana Esrim Gzeira Shava. Says Shana Esrim in two Pesukim, it teaches me the Gzeira Shava, like similarly says, Hatanami Shana Arba, Shana Arba, Gzeira Shava. It was the Gzeira Shava between the 40th year of the first and the 40th year of the second. Ma Kali Sis Mitzrayim. That the both of the Sis Mitzrayim. Let's look at Rashi, to my top where it gets wide. Shana Esrim Gzeira Shava. Rapapa Kulu Shana Pasuk Shrikh Lamo Zemize. So whenever it says the same between Shnat X and Shnat X, it's to learn one from the other. So it's a question whether this is really a full-fledged Zereshava, or it's just like Parshanut, but either way, he learns from his Rebbe that we're entitled to learn this way. So Mela, in fact, it says Shnat Arbaim, we can deduce that it was these things with Shnat. Then the Gemara says 4 lines from the bottom. We might demonstrate the Av Kadim. How do you know that the incident in Av took place before the incident in Shvat? Dilma Masi the Shvat Kadim. Maybe the incident in Shvat was first. In other words, maybe the years when they click in and Tishrei. And the 40th year, so in the 40th year, you're measuring Tishrei to Tishrei, and Shvat comes before Av. Which is the way, like in our calendar, it works. He says, so low stock for Daitat. I wouldn't think that. Why? It says in Devarim that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael after he had smote Sihon. He had, defeated Sihon. But Sihon was this king of the Amori that he defeated in battle. When Aaron died, Sihon was still alive and kicking. So obviously it has to be after that. Yechtiv, on the top line of Gimel Medalat, everybody would think, Yechtiv, that it says that the Kanani, the king of Arad, after Aaron dies, says, what did he hear? Shema. And we assume the Kanani is going to be Sihon. We'll explain. Shema Shemaid Aaron. He heard that Aaron is dead. There's no more Anekavo. It's like the iron dome is inactive. No more iron dome protective system anymore. So he thought, oh, there's a green light, now I'm allowed to attack Klal Yisrael. Behind the Tiv, by Yeruk Balaidaki Gav Aaron, it says that everybody saw that Aaron died, but I'm Rabbi Bahu, I'll take Rabbi Bahu, don't say that they saw. It was Simba Pshan Pasuk is, by Yeruk Balaidaki Gav Aaron. Everybody saw that Aaron died. So he says, don't say they saw, Ella Vayera'u, that they were exposed, that they were seen. In the Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish says, the Amar Reish Lakish, he mishamish for Arba Lashono. The key can mean four different things. So it means don't translate it that Aaron had died, but Vayera'u, they were exposed and vulnerable, key because Aaron died. Because Aaron died, There's no Ani Kavo. The Ein Dov system is down because they're not going to protect them. So they're exposed. He says, so Ki Mishamish Ba'arba Lashon. The word Ki can mean four different things. E, if, and then and that is also related to it. Dilma maybe, Ella rather, and Daha, because. So the Gemara says, Midami. So it's a nice shtickle Torah, the Gemara says. But how can you compare the two? Hatam Kinan Hakasifo. So we're talking about that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to them after Sichon is defeated. And you're quoting a pasuk about the king of Canaan, so the Melech Arad. So he says, Nidami Hatam Canaan, he says, by Shema HaKanani Melech Arad, the Kanani Melech Arad. So that's Canaan, HaKasichon. So Tana, Tona Tana, Tona Braisa, who's Sichon, who Arad, who Canaan? It's the same thing. Sichon is the same as Arad and the same as Canaan. Sichon, Shadomo Siakshamibar, Sichon wasn't his real name, but he's called Sichon because he was like a foal in the wilderness, I guess like a wild animal. Kinan al Shem Achuto, Kinan because his kingdom was in Kinan. Umashmo, Arad Shmo, his real name was Arad. Ika Damri, others say, Arad, Domavarobamibar, it was similar to a wild donkey. Kinan al Shem Achuto, Umashmo Sichon Shmo. Okay, but his real name is Sichon. Okay, now let me just do some things, and then that'll be it for today. I don't a foal. I don't know if it's a wild horse. It's a wild something. I don't know what. No, that's the road. But he meant the siach. The siach is the earlier one. Okay, now. All right now. The Gemara says the significance of having a new year for kings is to accurately date a contract. The reason accurate dating of the contract is significant is because it protects purchasers, the school code. And we went through the whole thing about the thing. Now, a common application, so the main idea is it's a shtar mukdam, it's pesul. I left this out before. So let's say a document is predated. So let's say the loan really took place in Tammuz and the shtar is dated Sivan. So now, not only am I as a malva stopped from collecting from the lekuchot in Sivan, I can't even collect from them in ever. In other words, any lekuchot. In other words, now it's treated like a milvah alpeh. It's treated like an oral loan, and that's a knas, a penalty that's coming imposed. So now a common application.
So the document is voided. Is that what you're saying?
Well, at least vis-a-vis collecting from the lekuchot. Okay, it might still have value as a shtar raya, like proving the evidence of the loan, but you can't use it to collect from the kugot. Now, common applications halacha relates to the proper dating of a ksuba. A ksuba needs to be accurately dated because the ksuba empowers a woman to collect property owned by the husband from the date of the ksuba. And if it's predated, it authorizes the woman to collect property that legally she has no right to collect. So in other words, if the ksuba is dated too early, what do we learn about shtar mukdam? It's pasul. That's bad. I'm gahak the suris.
It's just a little proof.
But this is especially important when a wedding is scheduled to take place late in the afternoon, which is very common. It is not uncommon for the ksuba to be filled out during the day with the kiddushin and isua not taking place until after it's dark. So in such a circumstance, how should the ksuba be dated? Should the ksuba be filled in with the day of the afternoon when the ksuba is being recorded, or should it be filled in with the date of the night when the wedding is taking place? Worse yet, there's a circumstance where the ksuba is filled in with the expectation that the wedding would take place during the day, and as a result of things running behind schedule, the signing of the ksuba will not take place until after sunset. There are many intricate details in determining the practical luck of these matters, but it's prudent, those planning a wedding, to avoid the question altogether and schedule the wedding early enough or late enough to steer clear of any questions of a predated ksuba. All right. Anyway, I think that's it for tonight. Any questions? Okay. Yes, go with everybody. Let me end the recording. 1 minute recording.